Take your Bible and go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, which I am using as our text today. Ephesians 4, please. All right, let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can take these moments and give our attention to your word. Now, Lord, this is your word. You spoke it into existence just like you did the worlds. And it has power, and it has transformed people's lives down through the ages. The record of what this book has done to deliver people from sin and set them on a course that honors you and brings success in life has been repeated time and time again. We want that benefit ourselves. And we ask you, Father, to take this word and through the ministry of your Spirit in each heart, cause spiritual growth to take place. I'm so thankful that you care for us and you're able to take a message prepared for a group and speak to us personally in our hearts. And I pray you'll do that. So, Lord, as we uncover this subject and look at it from your perspective, help us to grow in faith and obedience. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, lying has become far too common for us. It really has become a way of life as we know it. It's hard to think of any sector of life in which the truth is not manipulated for personal gain. I think about politics. No secret here. Politicians are notoriously for saying one thing and doing another, or telling you what they want you to hear and doing what they've already planned to do. One of those things came to my mind this week, and that was the Affordable Care Act. You can keep your plan. You can keep your doctor, and your health care costs are not going to go up. After all, it was called the Affordable Care Act. Well, your plan is gone, your doctor decided to retire early, and well, we all know what it's costing us today. How about athletics? In December 2001, shortly after being named Notre Dame's new head football coach, George O'Leary resigned for misrepresenting his football experience on his resume. Sadly, it's not just out there in the world, it has come home to roost in the church. Just a handful of years ago, Pastor Jim Motes of Newville, Pennsylvania, admitted to his church that for more than 5 years, his stories about being a Navy SEAL were untrue, for he never was one. And I quote him, "I never was in a class. I never served as an actual SEAL. It was my dream. I don't even know if I would have met the qualifications. I never knew what the qualifications were." But this is far more pervasive because it doesn't just involve leadership, not just presidents, head coaches, and pastors. It lives in the lives of the membership, even in this room. Pastor, I'd really love to help you with the outreach this weekend, but I'm really, really busy. Maybe next month. Oh, officer, why did you pull me over? Speeding is the reply. Really? I had no idea I was speeding.
That's why she's getting a ticket.
Oh, honey, surely there must be some mistake with that statement. You know I would never spend $700 at Kohl's without talking to you first. We really have become far too skilled at lying and deceiving our neighbors. I'm going to define lying this way. Actually, it's not my definition. It belongs to Walter and Trudy Fremont in a book I have. They call it deliberately distorting reality to mislead others by false or concealed information, deliberately distorting reality to mislead others by false or concealed information. I think I've given you enough examples to show you how pervasive it is across the board in almost every sector of life and in almost every person we know. But because of Jesus Christ, and because of the victory of the cross and his resurrection from the grave, it is possible for any Christian to overcome any sin by the grace of God. And you can be a truth teller. You can dismiss lying and dishonesty from your life. Now, there will be struggles, I'm sure, with all of us throughout life, but it doesn't have to be the modus operandi, the way you think, the paradigm under which, the flag under which you walk. Let me give you three biblical steps then for overcoming lying, and they come out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25. The Bible says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." I'm going to use this verse as our outline. Wherefore, putting away lying. Number one, put away lying. Now this put away or put off dynamic that's kind of something that's unique to Paul. He's always talking about put this off and put this on. You'll find it in Ephesians, you'll find it in Colossians, you'll find it in his language. In fact, just a few verses earlier in Ephesians 4, if you're looking, in verse 22 it says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You need to put away certain things that are holding you back. The language really is like that of putting off a garment that is no longer useful and has become soiled or sullied by the day. A long day in the sun or a long workout in the gym causes the fact that these clothes have to be taken off before the person can smell good or look good again. You know, this is the teaching of the gospel. The gospel isn't spraying on a little perfume over the wickedness of your heart. It's getting in and transforming you from the inside out so you're a completely different creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's a complete transformation, but the transformation begins by putting away what is displeasing to the Lord. So let me ask you a question. What's wrong with the old garments? Verse 22 of our text says they're corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Interesting. Lusts that trick you or deceive you into following after them. What's so corrupt, contaminated, and defiled about lying? Letter A, just a few thoughts. I got to keep moving. Got too much to give you today. It belongs to the devil. Jesus himself is the authority on this. He says in John chapter 8, verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So according to Jesus, all lies have their roots in the devil. You know, he was the one to utter the first lie in heaven, "I will be like the Most High." That's the first lie. In the first lie on earth, "You shall not surely die." And he's been lying to mankind ever since. So when you tell a lie, a fibber, a white lie, you're not acting like God your Father. You're acting like your father the devil, who is dragging you back into the sewer of his own corruption. You know, even though the Bible tags lying to the devil, I don't know that we all get it. I don't know that we all believe it. Some of us still think, you know, well, you know, a small lie will do less harm than the truth. If I tell my boss the real reason I was late, it'll be my second write-up this month. If I tell my wife how she really looks in that dress, I'll be sleeping on the couch for the next month. If I tell my teacher how I did so well on that test, well, there goes my grade, and I probably flunked the course. So we let the devil, the father of lies, mix up our thinking to actually believe that we're doing better by telling a lie than telling the truth. We take our stand with a lie. When you start thinking this way, you can be sure the devil is behind it. God is always on the side of truth. The devil only does this because he has another goal in mind. Whatever the devil does, he always brings one thing. He comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. John chapter 10, verse 14. He destroyed the peace and tranquility of the garden. He took all of Job's livestock, didn't leave one or any of the servants except one to report that they were all gone. He killed all of Job's 10 children. And remember when Jesus was just an infant in Bethlehem, he sent out a murderous horde from Herod that was attempting to kill all of the male children, 2 years and younger, in Bethlehem. When the devil's behind something, things get destroyed. You can be sure the devil's behind it then when it comes to the case of lying. Here's some biblical examples of how lying led to death in the scriptures. King Saul lied to Samuel about killing the Amalekites. He didn't. He kept back Agag and part of the best of the sheep and the goats. Remember this? It's 1 Samuel 15 if you need the reference. He appealed to Samuel and accidentally tore part of Samuel's robe. And God said to him through Samuel the prophet, God hath torn the kingdom from you. You lied. You didn't follow through with obedience. Gone is your kingdom. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. To them were born a son. And that son the Lord chose to let die in infancy because David lied to hide his sin. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, Acts chapter number 5, lied about their contribution to the church benevolence fund. And what ended up happening? Both fell down dead the very same day inside the doors of the church. All right, why do I tell you these stories? Well, turn wherever you want in Scripture. Show me dishonesty and I'll show you a trail of death and destruction. That's exactly what happens. So, you know, when God gives a commandment like he does the ninth commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse number, 16? Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. He isn't doing it because, he's like really strict, strict. You know, put me in a straitjacket here. I can't do anything, but, one more rule like the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet, and I'm not going to be able to move. He actually did this for our own good. Because when you lie, you're actually undermining your own abilities to survive and to succeed. God was protecting your own welfare. And that fits with a God whom the scripture says is always good. Now think about your life for a minute. How did that last lie, the one you're thinking about that you told, was it last week? Or was it in the last hour? Whichever one the Lord has brought to your mind right now, that one you told, how'd that work out for you? Did the employer find out anyway and fire you right on the spot? Did your wife uncover who was the name behind that number on your cell phone and ask for a divorce? Did the teacher find out you cheated and make you repeat the course? This is typically how it goes because the Bible says what you sow, you are going to reap. It may not be immediate, but it's going to happen. Somebody in this room might be thinking of a lie, yeah, but I've covered up this lie for 7 years or 17 or longer than I can remember, and nobody's ever found out. Don't pat yourself on the back just yet. It really is just a matter of time, since the God who knows all has a way of bringing secret things to light. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God knows. All right, so the first step in beating back The sin of dishonesty and lying is this, that I put it off. This has to do with another biblical word that I haven't introduced yet, but I want to introduce it now, and that's the word repentance. Repent means I am choosing to turn my back on a sin that God is not pleased with. I am going to change directions. Repentance is telling God you were wrong and that He's right. It's taking the blame and accepting the consequence. It's the first step in cutting lying out of our lives. Don't tell yourself, well, you know, maybe one of these days I'll do it. The Christian who wants to conquer sin says, I'll do it today. That's what I need to do. I'm going to put it away. I'm going to repent of this. I don't want it in my life anymore. Step number two, put on truth. The second part of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So God's plan for overcoming sin and for helping you, it's not just to take away things. God isn't all negative. God is a positive God. He says, instead of this, I want this. We call this the principle of replacement. And Paul says, in this particular matter, it starts with speaking the truth. You know, can anyone really speak the truth after developing a habit of telling lies? Is that even possible?
Yes.
The answer, of course, is yes, because your taste for anything can change, provided you're exposed enough to it. Now it's back to talking about my coffee habit for just a moment. You know, when I first started drinking coffee, I did it because, as I mentioned a week ago, I mean, it was the Christian thing to do. It's what church people did. They drank coffee. And I wanted to be a church person, so, you know, I had to learn how to drink coffee. But I suddenly discovered that about the only kind of creamer that people would serve, at least in the churches that I ran in, was hazelnut. And that was a little bit puzzling for me. I thought coffee was a bean. Why did people want it to taste like a nut? And so for the longest time, I had a hard time getting down hazelnut creamer. I have always enjoyed a little bit of cream in my coffee. I don't drink it black. But I just wondered, why does it have to be hazelnut? Couldn't it just be plain? And I always would opt, if I could, just to go for Coffee Mate, just plain cream, so I could taste the bean, because I didn't want to taste the nut. And you know what? I just had to surrender time and time again. The only creamer that was available anywhere in the building, it seemed, was hazelnut. So I drank hazelnut. And I tried to get my coffee down. And you know what? Over time, I developed a taste for it. I'll tell you, just within the last couple of weeks, last month at Walmart, I bought a whole bunch of hazelnut creamer. I really did. And I enjoyed it. And my taste has changed. You know, it's true of the truth as well. When you get the truth on your tongue and you taste it for a while, nothing tastes quite so sweet. Here are some reasons why. The truth pleases God. The book of Proverbs says, Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. It promotes trust. Truth-telling promotes trust. People who consistently tell the truth are known to be trustworthy. God's this way. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. His words are pure and people trust Him. Go figure. To put it a little more directly, when you get caught in a lie, your credibility crumbles. This is especially true in marriage. And I would highly recommend to every couple in this room not ever to lie to your spouse or leave them wondering about your integrity. This is the stuff that's made fun of in sitcoms and movies. Backhanded stuff, lying to each other. Our family watched a movie earlier this week together for an evening. And in it, one of the people were lying repeatedly to their spouse. That's unfortunate. All it takes is one lie to destroy a lifetime of trust. So don't let anything but the truth come off your lips. It pleases God, it promotes trust, and it eases pressure. One of the tastiest parts of the truth is If I tell the truth, I don't have to worry about covering up a previous lie. I don't have to cover my tracks. I don't have to come up with another story, more dramatic than the last one, you know, to keep up with things. Life gets a whole lot easier, and the pressure of covering your tracks vanishes away. Have you heard about the four high school girls who couldn't resist the temptation to skip morning classes? They all agreed to leave school like normal and then head off to the mall instead. After lunch, they showed up at a school and reported to the teacher that their car had a flat tire. Much to their relief, the teacher smiled and said, "Well, you missed a quiz this morning, so take your seats and get out a piece of paper and a pencil." Still smiling, she waited as they settled down and got ready for her questions. Then she said, "First question, which tire was flat?" To break the habit of dishonesty, you must put on truth. That's the second step, right? First one, put away lying. Second one, put on truth. How do you put on truth if you haven't been as truthful as you need to be? I believe it begins by saturating yourself with the truth of God's word. You begin to live in reality and you learn truth through the study of God's word. The more of God's truth that gets in your heart, the easier it becomes to become a truth teller. Jesus said this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," John 8:32. So put on truth by filling up your mind with God's word. Can I be a little bit more specific about this? About God's plans for you to be putting on the truth? I would encourage you to do something that I've heard that has been pumped into my life and I often use in my counseling sessions today. When people are struggling with a particular problem, this reaches beyond lying, but lying is the topic of the day. You start at the beginning of Proverbs and you begin to read through the 31 chapters a little bit at a time, like one chapter a day, and you write down every verse that applies to your particular problem. Again, this isn't original with me, learned it from somewhere else a long time ago. What you do by the end of a month is you have collected the wisdom of Solomon on your particular problem, and you have like a little cliff note version of the Bible about God's wisdom about your problem. And then you go over those verses and you memorize some of the key verses and you write little notes to yourself about what those verses mean and you study them so you get it into your heart, because it's not just reading the Bible, it's getting it into your thinking and it's getting it into your soul, so that that's the kind of truth that begins to come out of your life. You can do this with lying, and you can do this with hatred, and you can do this with anger, and you can do this with bitterness, and you can do this with lust, and you can do this with money problems and greed and whatever. So I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with lying and dishonesty, that you become a truth teller by saturating yourself with God's truth and start a wisdom study in truth and lying from the book of Proverbs. Hey, in time you're going to find the truth never tasted so good. Because with God's help, through the power of Christ, any Christian can learn to be a truth teller. How are we doing? Number one, put away lying. Number two, put on the truth. That's a conscious decision. I'm deciding to do it. I'm going to obey God. Number three, get help from a member. Get help from a member. This is the last phrase of Ephesians 4:25. And maybe you haven't quite seen it from this angle before. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." He's really appealing to us to remember we're part of a Christian family. We have a responsibility to tell truth to each other, but we also have a responsibility to help each other tell the truth. Both are true. I have a responsibility to tell you all the time, tell you the truth. But we all have a responsibility to each other to promote truth among us. So God has given you the benefit of a church family full of members who are pulling for you, praying for you, wanting the best for you on your journey for Christ. too often our pride gets in the way. Well, I could never tell anybody that I have problems with dishonesty. You know, can I just be frank with you? God, by His Spirit, 2 or 3 years ago, put His finger by the Holy Spirit on me where I was embellishing stories or leaving out the parts of the stories that didn't make me look so good. And I realized, I count myself a pretty truthful person, but the Spirit of God showed me I needed a little bit of improvement in this area. We need to have the humility, and I just did it publicly, right? But you need to have the humility at times to admit, you know, I need some help. I have found great benefit in my Christian life. When I am facing an issue, I have gone to different people at different times for help, and it has been highly valuable to me. I don't make my private sins public knowledge, unless I just did now. But I have asked for private help at various times in my life with different issues. And I have found great benefit and help from that. I think this is one of the things that's lacking from our Christian fellowship today. Man, we can talk about sports scores. We can talk about, you know, the weather, bad politics. You know, we have our subjects and we can go on and on. And man, we can think, man, we really had a great Sunday today. Man, I had a great talk with so-and-so after the service. It was good. And we never really talk about their struggles. What I learned this week in my devotions. What I need prayer for. And I want to encourage you to lean on the body of Christ more for victory over the problems that you're facing. Now, let me offer this warning here. The key is you've got to pick somebody you believe to be more godly, more wise than you are. Somebody who's going to lift you up to God, not join you in the gutter. So we call this today, we call this accountability. And I believe when it comes to lying that this might be actually essential. Especially those who have developed a habit over many years of living, you know, a little bit larger than life or a little bit outside of life in a fantasy world. You know, sin habits form over time. Nobody comes a good liar or chronic liar overnight. Habits take time. But after a while, the concrete kind of sets up, doesn't it? And forms, and it's very hard to get rid of concrete once you decide. Now you can get out there with a sledgehammer and some picks, you know, and a jackhammer, and you can get rid of the concrete, but it's going to take a little bit more work. And I think lying can be that way. But if you would pray and enlist the help of other believers in your struggle against this, you can overcome the sin of lying. So let me tell you just three different things I'd like to suggest about an accountability partner. I don't know that this is essential in all cases, but it could be because some of us are so good, we lie so well to ourselves and to our spouse that we've actually kind of live in this alter world that isn't reality, but it's the new reality that we've created. And without input from an outside source, we're likely just to stay in that little world. So, if that is a potential issue for you, I think getting the help of another member, we are members one of another, will be helpful. So what do you need this member to do? Number one, ask this member to pray for you. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What did he say? He said the effectual or the effective fervent vigorous prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. His prayer for you avails much. Do not underestimate the power of prayer to move heaven on your behalf and have someone else moving heaven on your behalf. This is on my mind all the time. I am praying and I am giving toward our building fund and I am delighting into seeing the progress that's being made. But I am believing that the real power to putting a building up in this community for this church is not by might, And it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I get hold of the Spirit when I pray. So let's believe together that when we pray, things happen. So I need somebody to pray with me. Hey, and if I'm in a difficult situation, I finally, you know, I'm up against the wall. I've been backed into a corner. And I'm in a predicament. I'm in a fix. Like, I don't know how to get out of this without telling a lie. You ever been there? I have. My brother was driving my car. Fell asleep behind the wheel. We're cruising down the freeway about 65 miles an hour. Early morning, about 5:30. I was sleeping in the passenger. I drove the first part of the night. Pop! Woke me up, man. And the providence of God, when he nodded off, he hit the support for a bridge. We were on a bridge. Otherwise, we probably would have shot across the median into other traffic. Then the question was, well, what do we tell the insurance company? Like this even has to be debated. Here I was, backed up. Part of the family wanted me to do one thing. My conscience wanted me to do another thing. Listen, this is going to happen to you as a Christian. What are you going to do? I reached out for people to pray for me and ask counsel for what I should do in that situation. This is where your church family comes in. Ask a member to help you. Really? We're for you. So, hey, that all worked out eventually. I did meet with the insurance agent. I did tell what really happened. And that all took care of itself. But we do get backed into predicaments. So it's great to have somebody that you can call up. Hey, you know, she says this, and if I say that, and this is what's going to happen, what should I do? And would you please pray for me? Wonderful to have a friend like that. Number two, ask this member to check on you regularly. If you're going to have an accountability partner, they can't be calling you once a month. They need to be calling you every day or every other day. Are you telling the truth? Is there some dishonesty in your life? And they need to be the kind of person that's going to ask you the difficult questions. I don't honestly think this person can be your spouse. Because I think some of us are pretty good at duping our spouses. This has somebody that's got to really get right to the point. Three, admit to this member when you fail and then seek God's forgiveness. You know, when you're forgiven, all the guilt goes away. The arms of God open up to you. He receives you. And if we really cared for our brothers and sisters, we would go to them in our need, and we would receive, if somebody comes to us, their plea for help with thanksgiving. And we would ask God to help us to be a help to that person. Really, we need to help one another on this journey. And this is one of the areas I believe we can be a big help to one another. Romans 15:1 says, when we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. But what about those times when telling the truth is just honestly not the right thing to do? I got some savvy listeners out there. Anytime a subject of dishonesty comes up or lying, somebody finds that one exception out there that, you know, those 2% of the time, you know, what if it's going to do bodily harm to somebody if I tell the truth? Or, you know, what if my kid, you know, what if I hurt their feelings? You know, wouldn't lying be better than hurting their feelings? So I got to put this in. This wasn't originally part of the message, but I got people out there. They're going to ask me after the service, but what about this? And what about this? And you know what? We kind of seem to park over on these exceptions. And there are times when it's a little difficult and the situation is unusual. But then we take those unusual situations and then we apply it to the other 98% of the time and treat everything the same way. I think that's a danger. I don't want to really go off on this for long, but Here are the examples that are often marched out to show that sometimes lying is the right thing to do. Well, you remember the Gestapo? You know, in World War II? And how the Nazis went around and picked up all those Jews? You know, and you know, you can't be a part of that. You know, so sometimes you gotta lie. And your child, your three-year-old, colors her Sunday school paper with all her zest and brings it to you after the service with proud eyes. Look what I colored in Sunday school. With no respect for the lines. Here's a couple things and I'll move on. In the history of truth-telling, these scenarios represent a small percentage, as I've already said. This message really is about the other 95% of the time when we lie to protect our own image or for personal gain. Number two, the Bible always says that we're to speak the truth in love, which I haven't mentioned yet, but that's in this chapter 2, Ephesians 4, verse 15. So a truth is always to be preferred. It isn't supposed to be spoken without love. So as my daughter comes up, hands me a picture that she... I'm going to say something loving and true about it at the same time. Right? And there are ways to do that. And in a few rare occasions, when a terrorist or a villain is threatening my family or humanity, it might be, and some Christians have found, like the Ten Boom family and the Bonhoeffer family have found, that concealing truth was the better way to go than to break the sixth commandment and be accomplice to murder. But each Christian has to come to their own decision about how to do that before the Lord. And those are rare occasions. And don't use those as an excuse for general disobedience. Hope that's a help. I'm moving on. It really is possible to overcome any sin through the power of Christ. And with His help, you can overcome the sin of lying. Here are some steps that you could put into place. And we ought to all, even if you don't think this is your problem, work toward a greater honesty, as God recently, even in my life, worked to just be absolutely crystal clear about everything. Sacrifice nothing then for your personal integrity. Let me finish this way. You've probably never heard of soccer player Rob Mao. But what happened to him while a student at Wheaton Christian High School got the attention of a former president of these United States. In the closing seconds of a game against a school by the name of Wambanzi Valley, a team ranked high in the state, Mao managed a breakaway and kicked the tying goal as time expired, with Wheaton fans cheering and upset that Wambanzi fans protesting that the goal was late. Mao walked up to the referee and asked a question. He asked the referee, what is the official time for the game? Was the scoreboard the official time, or do you keep the official time in your hand? And the referee told him that the scoreboard held the official time. And then he looked at the referee and he said to him, well, I know that just as I was about to kick that ball, I saw zeros go onto the clock. And so I know I kicked the ball after time expired. With that, instead of calling it a tie, the referee reversed the decision and gave the game to Wambanzi Valley. And to the surprise and shock of all the fans, Mao said, I didn't think much about it. I hadn't done anything that great. For me, acting honestly was just a reflection of Christ in me. For a person to know what is right and then not to do it, that's a sin. To have won the game, I mean, really, who cares? Doing the right thing is more important. It lets you have peace. Those are big words from an 18-year-old student. A local columnist picked up the story and shared it with his readership, and that column eventually ended up in the hands of a former president who wrote Rob Mao these words. Dear Rob, begins a hand-scribbled letter. I read Bob Green's wonderful column about you. I love sports and true sportsmen. My faith in our future was renewed and lifted by that column. Never lose your principles. Always stand for what's decent and right. That's what you told us all when you refused the victory. The signature? Former President George H.W. Bush. Interesting to the story, 2 years later, Mal went on to play for Wheaton College, and that year his team won a national championship in soccer. What if every Christian loved telling the truth that much? Father in heaven, thank you for reminding us of the value and the importance of truth and even steps we can take to be truth tellers. Please help us on this journey. We all need help in a culture that's saturated with lies in which nobody's able to trust anybody else. Help us to be trustworthy people. We pray for your mercies and forgiveness for the ways we failed, even in the last week, sometimes in our ignorance, but sometimes with deliberate intent and purpose to mislead people regarding reality. Give us a commitment, a renewed commitment to truth today, and help those who especially struggle to make progress and to have victory, the victory that we have through Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Listen, if God touched your heart about something, this doesn't have to be a habitual part of your life. I was surprised, honestly, a few years ago when the Holy Spirit pointed out a few areas that I needed to clear up and straighten up, sharpen up. Would you respond to the Lord today? We're going to have a song in just a moment. I'm not going to give a come forward invitation. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But I am going to say this. If this is a struggle that you're having or if you need help, listen, remember the points of the sermon today. Come get help. And I'm willing to be the first point of help if you need that help. So I hope you'll come. Let's have a song.